Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. On today's episode, I am interviewing McDavid Stoddard. He is from Aperture Finance. And today, we are here to discuss the future of DeFi. Also, a little bit about the current state of DeFi, airdrops, and everything that is going on in this space. We also talk about what Aperture Finance is planning to build and what direction they are planning to go. So if you are really into DeFi or decentralized finance, then this episode is a must listen or must watch for you. Also, nothing mentioned in this episode should be taken as legal advice, and also always follow the rules and regulations in your jurisdiction. This podcast is listened in over 80 countries around the world. I cannot cover a disclaimer for each and every country. Be sensible, do your own research, and I do not run any ads on this podcast. My only ask is that you share this episode with a friend or on social media. With that out of the way, let's get into it. So, McDavid, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome to the show. Looking forward to talking with you about Aperture Finance and a bit about your journey as well. So for some of our audience who are not very familiar with your journey, how did you end up in Web3 and with Aperture Finance?
Hey, yeah, first, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here. And yeah, my Web3 journey. So I'm like a middle of the road millennial. I'm currently 32. And the reason I bring this up because, so when I was in college, this is my first introduction to crypto. While I was in college, one of the apartments I was living in my sophomore year was a 2-bedroom. This is in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
On the East Coast of the United States. And so I'm in this 2-bedroom apartment, sophomore year of college. When I move out, there was like a friend of my roommate who took over the lease from us. And being like the 19-year-old that I was, I left some of my belongings in the apartment after the lease turns over. Anyways, I go back to pick up these belongings and I meet the two new tenants in this apartment. And I'm like, oh my God, what are these two guys up to? They're super sketchy. It was very clear they were not college students and they were up to something. They did not have jobs, regular jobs, as we later come to find out. Anyways, I don't think anything of that. I filed that in the back of my head. Fast forward like a year and a half or so, and this big article comes out that the very first ever seizure of cryptocurrency by a government agency has happened in Charleston, South Carolina, as the like FBI or DEA, I can't remember, one of the 3-letter federal agencies kicked in this guy's door and arrested them for having sold drugs on the Silk Road, or drugs that they were procuring through Silk Road 1.0. So that was funny. That was my first introduction to crypto well over 10 years ago. And then fast forward, I end up in California after college working in tech and find myself at a news app a couple of years ago where I was put in charge of the like Web3 project.
Yeah.
So basically researching how this news app called Smart News could basically capture this growing Web3 audience. Remember, this is like 2020, 2021 that I'm leading this. So this is the peak ramp up of the last bull market. And was working on that and realizing, like, seeing all this research about how the amount of venture deals going into Web3 at the end of 2021 was like dwarfing that of a lot of other sectors and tech. And I was, you know, learning more and more about the space. And I was like, I just want to get some like hands-on experience. This giant, like, slow to move news app is never going to be able to grasp this opportunity. I should just go get my hands dirty in the industry directly. And so I started reaching out in my network and then came across this group based out of Silicon Valley. I was in San Francisco at the time. I still am in San Francisco, that was working on this DeFi thing called Aperture. And so I joined them before they had raised any money or launched any version of the product, kind of came on as like a generalist covering BD marketing and anything else that might need to be done. So that's how, I got into Aperture a little over 2 years ago.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so what problems does Aperture solve, or what does Aperture do?
Yeah, so aperture, I would say like the through line across what we've done in DeFi. We've had a few different lives that we've lived. Anyone I think who's been building in the space since late 2021 has had to reinvent themselves at some point. And I would say the through line through all that is really just like better UX for users. And what I mean specifically by that is like helping people get minimize the amount of buttons they have to click to execute a strategy and help them get better pricing and better execution and some automation on what they're doing, meaning things can happen while they're sleeping that they've authorized on their behalf. And so the very first product we had fit that definitely fit that description. So Aperture, we started with this very popular vault on Terra Classic. It was basically like the greedy version of Anchor Earn. And the vault basically involved like you set up this delta neutral strategy that interacted with Anchor and Mirror, which is another protocol that was popular on Terra back in the day. The strategy itself was pretty well known. Lots of YouTubers were talking about it. There were lots of big on-chain funds that were manually running the strategy, and lots of people said they were going to automate it, but at the end of the day, only Aperture's, we were the only ones who like were able to successfully bring an audited smart contract to market, and we were rewarded pretty handsomely for that. We had got over 100 million of TVL in a few weeks of launch. But anyways, the DPEG happens, and we go on a soul searching journey through the rest of 2022, where we tried out a few other vaults. We quickly began to realize that our core competency was in the like technical solution and not in packaging alpha and like selling a structured product or selling yield. So we were okay. The through line here is like our technical solutions. What can we do to bring these to the biggest audience possible, but also do it in a way where we're not having to sell APR or come up with strategies? Really, we don't have a TradFi background. The team comes from FAANG companies, big tech. And so that led us to Uniswap and where we are today. And so now we have a very popular solution. We call it like liquidity intents. It's a very early primitive of an intent-centric UX approach to LPing on Unity 3. And really what that means at the end of the day is that we have a much easier solution for LPs on Unity 3 to get both ease of use, but also to get better pricing and better execution on that LP management process. And for those of the people in the audience who maybe aren't incredibly familiar with Unity 3 kind of marked the dawn of concentrated liquidity. And concentrated liquidity was an amazing upgrade, but it made the actual process of LPing infinitely more difficult for anyone to do, nonetheless, like a retail user. And so what Aperture does with this like liquidity intense platform is we allow people to like very easily do things like rebalance their position instantly. Normally, if you rebalance, it takes three different transactions. You have to withdraw your liquidity. You then have to solve a math problem. You have to perform a swap to get to the desired ratio of liquidity you want. And then you have to redeploy the liquidity as the third transaction. So we condense all that into one TX with a very intuitive interface. That's our most popular feature. And we also have a lot of like automated features where it does something similar, but it'll happen based on a trigger that you've declared. And this is really where the intents piece comes to mind, where like the process for any of these automated features is you sign a gasless message saying, I would like the end state of my LP position to be X, Y, or Z once a particular trigger of my choosing has been met. And so the things that that gasless message can do is it can rebalance the position for you when ETH pumps to a certain price or when the ratio of ETH in your position gets to a certain threshold. It can also close out the position for you. That in essence acts like a range order. I know a lot of VCs use single-sided or heavily weighted LPing on Unity 3 as a means of getting out of their token investments. And other people do this as well, just a DCA into or out of tokens in general. It's a pretty good way to get the benefits of DCAing out of something, but you also earn fees because you're market making along the way and you're not paying the swap costs from Uniswap, or even if you were to swap on a centralized exchange, you would still have to pay fees. So we have that. And we also have a fairly new feature that uses the same methodology, but instead of, it's also in the rebalancing space, but instead of rebalancing once, you basically declare a kind of a market making strategy that you want to execute in perpetuity. We call it the recurring rebalancer, but basically this is, if anyone's familiar with some of the active liquidity, the ALM solutions on the market, like Gamma or Arrakis, these are vaults that people can one click into, and the vault will automatically rebalance based on some heuristics that have been set up by the vault makers. But now with this product, you, the user, can come in and you decide what those parameters should be. You pick the pair you want, and you pick the like triggers you want the pair to rebalance based on. And this rebalance will keep happening in perpetuity.
Yeah.
Obviously, for anyone listening, you're like, holy shit, there's probably a ton of impermanent loss with these types of strategies. And yes, you're right. These are definitely, this is a very advanced feature that has a lot of risk associated with it. But it is also how the largest market makers on chain, like the Wintermutes of the world, this is exactly how they market make on the really big competitive pairs like ETH, USDC on mainnet. They run something similar based on tools they've built in-house. So we have a solution for that that anyone can use.
No, that's very cool. How do you explain this to your mom when she asks you, what do you do?
I can't.
So what happens at like Thanksgiving, Christmas, dinner? People ask you in your family, what do you do?
They'll come up to me and they're like, so are you still working in Bitcoin? I'm like, no, but yes, but sure. I can't tell them that. I'm like, I've actually never even done a transaction on Bitcoin. That's not the space, the neck of crypto that I'm in, but sure. Yeah, I do crypto stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you even explain DeFi to someone who's completely new?
Yeah, I describe it as, it's like the stock market in Wall Street, but it's done on a blockchain in a way that anyone can interact with it. But even that is like an idealized version of what DeFi is. I actually want to explain what DeFi is right now in January 2024. That is a more cynical answer to.
I'll go for it.
What I see is, I don't know if you're noticing this as well, but it feels like the entire industry, all the active users have just pivoted to airdrop farming and or points farming, which is the newest iteration. And we see it within our user base. We don't currently have a point system set up, although that's probably coming in the future. But within our user base, I view these LPs on UniV3 as like some of the most legit DeFi users, because they're chasing like very honest yield. They're chasing like an honest like 30 to 50% APR based on some hard work of market making on chain. But everywhere else I look in DeFi, I just see all these like new GMX protocol type spinoffs that have some point system set up, and people are just showing up to farm the point system. And it's helpful in some ways, I think, for keeping people active and engaged. But this cannot be the
ultimate use case of DeFi.
The ultimate use case of DeFi. This has to be like a transitory phase that we needed to get through to onboard some more users as we get to slightly better use cases that don't require so much incentives.
It has been very interesting. I look at like Electric Capital's report and just where the transactions are happening in on-chain activity, and it's 8 out of 10 transactions are in DeFi in blockchain. Because so much of the DeFi is also automated, and there'd be like so many transactions happening and so much happening and just like trading and activity in DeFi compared to the other side of things, such as NFTs or other like on-chain activities, there's a lot less transactions. And in gaming side, there's a lot of transactions that still happen off-chain, and then only few things move on-chain just because of the cost.
Yeah.
So it is definitely very interesting. What's the roadmap for Aperture going forward for this year?
Going forward, we basically, like right now, as I alluded to, we have a very early primitive of an intent space architecture.
Yeah.
And I view the like intent space as, there's a couple of stages, similar to how we have these like different stages that layer twos take to be fully decentralized. I think a lot of intent space platforms will have to go along a similar path, or they can remain in like stealth build mode for many years while they try to pull off the entire solution at once. I feel like this is what Nomada is doing. But like on Aperture side, I think the very first stage is you have this ability to like sign a gasless message declaring what you want to happen. The kind of the core of intents is really you, the users show up and you just, you don't sign a transaction. It's not a transactional approach to user experience. It's a declarative end state that you're saying, I want, my end goal is this. I actually don't really care what steps you take to get there so long as this is what is in my wallet at the end of the day. That's what we have is like step one right now. We have a version of that for LPs, but we only have one solver and that's Aperture. And so the next thing for our roadmap is really to open this up for LPs to get even better pricing and execution on this like liquidity management space by bringing in some other solvers. And right now part of my job is talking to a lot of these solvers that are on Uniswap X and some of these other intent-based protocols to bring them into Aperture to help with our liquidity intents use case. So that's the next thing on our roadmap that's big and exciting. And then beyond that, really our goal is to keep slowly upgrading this general intents architecture. And currently what we have built so far has a limited use case for liquidity. But what we want to do is make something a bit more generalized that could service other use cases and DeFi. In order to do that, there's some kind of like general architecture we're going to have to build out, like a sort of like a gossip network of sorts for sorting through these intents, as well as a system for third-party solvers to come in and interact with this gossip network and make sure that the solvers are in fact executing the intents that the users have declared. So having like a slashing system set up to deter bad behavior and that sort of thing. But yeah, we'll be releasing a blog post pretty shortly laying out this grander vision around intents. But yeah, the future we want to have is there's a UX interface and Aperture powers and other, like you could call them solver DAOs or solver, a network of solver apps could come in, and each of them specializes in a certain use case. Like right now, Aperture has a solver app that specializes in liquidity intents. But we want to have a generalized architecture where other apps could come in and do things like hedging intents. Like people could come in and say stuff like, I want to reduce my delta exposure by X amount and I'm willing to pay up to this amount per month as a fee for this amount of hedging coverage. And then solver could come in and they could shop that around to different money markets or other hedging solutions. Or another version of a DAO that I think could be interesting is like an airdrop farming DAO where someone could come in and say, here's my wallet address. Can someone claim any airdrops that this address is eligible for in exchange for up to a 1% finder's fee? And you could just keep that order open, and this would prevent people from having to deal with like the VPNing around these airdrop claim interfaces. And it would also keep people from having to like monitor Twitter all day to figure out what airdrops are open, and then to also do all this OPSEC around, is this a legit link? Am I going to get my wallet drained if I click on this thing? And offload that to a professional airdrop claimer or a network of professional airdrop claimers who can do that on the user's behalf and give that time back to people so they're not having to spend all this time on Twitter, which I think a lot of people deep down know that they'd like to spend less time on Twitter if possible.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's so true. I also saw on your sort of roadmap somewhere that you're working on something like Aperture GPT and something like that and Uni V4.
Yeah, so those are two things. Uni V4 we will obviously support. I could talk a little bit about Uni V4 actually right now. So within the like developer community, there's Uni V4 is pretty exciting for a couple of reasons. First of all, it is further enabling third-party developers like Aperture to build on top of Uniswap. It's really going to be like an app store for DEXs, is essentially what Unity 4 will be. So that's pretty exciting. However, there's still quite a few questions that I think the developer community has around what Unity 4 is going to look like exactly. Like the actual UX of it is still pretty up in the air. So all that's to say, like Aperture, our core features, they're going to be integrated into Unity 4. But in terms of what we do above and beyond that, we're still waiting to see what it actually ends up looking like. But yeah, so that's Unity 4. And then the Aperture GPT thing, this is basically the general like intents architecture we're going to be building out. This is the bigger, grander vision. The actual user interface for that, it's going to basically be like a user through natural language will declare an intent that they want. And then the UX will translate that natural language intent into a domain-specific language that we design ourselves, a DSL that we design ourselves, that will create. And that DSL translated version is what's going to go into the gossip network that the solvers will look at. And yeah, so basically that's the end goal is to have a UX that is not constrained by what buttons and sliders and knobs we can build out, but to a UX it's a bit more simplified that really the user just in their own words describes what they want and we'll translate it for them and help them execute. So that's where the GPT thing has been migrated to. So that will have come out like in the future alongside this more generalized intent architecture that we're working on.
And I could just possibly go and say, I want to copy this person's strategy that's on the platform. I see them doing well. And it could do that possibly in a idealistic future.
Yeah, copy trading is for sure a use case of this as well. Of course, there are risks associated with that.
Of
If you
course, with
just say
anything,
you're
by
going to
the way,
blindly.
disclaimer, this is all not investment advice. This is just a conversation about a platform and how it works.
Yeah.
So, what other DeFi projects or tech are you most excited about?
Good question. Good question. I would say one thing I'm looking forward to that I still haven't, I've seen a lot of buzz around, but I have yet to encounter a real use case in the wild that checks this box for me. But I'm pretty excited about it, like a really good chain abstraction interface. There's still quite a bit of friction around bridging. First of
Absolutely.
all, there are too many bridges. They all have their own mechanism. I don't want to spend time having to learn about how each of the bridges work. I just want to be like, is this thing safe and is it going to work? How long is it going to take for the asset to show up on the other side? So there's still too many bridging interfaces, and I really want to be able to like more easily swap tokens. Similar to how you do it on Cosmos, if you're in a Kepler wallet, I know it's IBC, so it's not the same thing, but the experience of just like picking an asset from one chain and swapping it to an asset on another chain and all that happened pretty soon. So basically, yeah, Kepler maybe is the use case I've seen, but it's quite different because it's just for the IBC realm. But I would love to see something like that for like all of the important chains because yeah, bridging is no fun. And I really think that a lot of those core use cases like swapping should be able to be done from the wallet with very good pricing. So people like MetaMask, stop charging these ridiculous fees for the swap in your wallet. You'll get way more adoption if you just build a really good product and have a charge a very reasonable fee that's justified by the aggregation that you're doing on behalf of the user and the bridging and other benefits you're bringing to the table. So yeah, I'm really excited to see good chain abstraction and better wallet embedded swap features that are built on top of chain abstraction.
And like when you look at chains, which chain do you feel is like getting things right?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. They all do something. They all are like optimized along a certain parameter. But it's also, I think the current group of users in DeFi are really or in some ways distort the way we think about which chains are going to be successful because the group that's in DeFi right now, we're so different than the quote unquote like millions of normie users that we're all hoping we onboard into the ecosystem. Like our wants and needs and tolerance for certain things is just like totally different. This is, we are, I compare DeFi users to like the credit card churners, which is like a Web2 analog of the DeFi users. And for people who aren't familiar, like the credit card churners, these are people that like wade through like tons of fine print on like credit card sign-up bonuses, and they figure out ways to like open 100 credit cards in a year and get all these sign-up bonuses and navigate this huge bureaucracy of different logins and bank websites and like moving all the points around. And it's this huge time suck that they get free money from. But ultimately, like most people,
Don't really make
maybe
money,
just
they
sign up
lose
for,
out.
they just sign up for one credit card and they can't be bothered to try to game the system. They don't want to deal with all the button clicking. And that's where normal DeFi is right now. So at the end of the day, I feel like this, I'm dodging your question, but I feel like the end state will be, it will be a very chain abstracted interface that most normies will interact with. And they're really not going to care or know what the chain is. I do believe that. But as a DeFi user myself, I actually quite hate the Ethereum ecosystem compared to once you've done stuff on Cosmos or Solana. Those are definitely like slightly easier experiences. MetaMask is still an incredibly frustrating wallet to work with. And obviously, I like things to be quick and cheap. But at the end of the day, Ethereum has the most, the EVM realm has the most applications, so I definitely spend a lot of time there still. But I do wish more things were in Cosmos or Solana, just for my own personal convenience reasons.
Yeah, if you just wait 10 more years, Ethereum will get there. It's, yeah, I don't know if you
Yeah.
remember back then, the merge, every 2 years it was only away 6 months. Kind of, it just, they talked about it for 5 years, pretty much the merge.
Yeah.
It did eventually happen. And then the other stages of it will take another 10 years. And also the number of applications in Solana and Cosmos, if you just wait 2 more years, they'll all be there within that time because they are growing incredibly fast in the number of applications and people jumping on board and building things. So everything is moving, so we will get there in the end. But as you say, all these solutions, all these DeFi is not for the regular people. It is still too complex. It is only for a certain niche. I've seen those, what it feels like exactly that as you described. There's these like TV shows or something back in the days where these women collect coupons from all around and then they go and buy $1,000 worth of stuff for $0. And they
Yes,
spend a whole month collecting coupons and stuff and lots of
Ex
different
exactly. That was the
they
even more OG
OG way of yeah, there's
farming.
only a small, yeah, they have the coupon farming, they're pretty much airdrop farming from the corporates and they drive around all these places collecting coupons and stuff and they spend so much time. If they just worked somewhere, they would make 8 times more money and then they could just pay for their groceries. So people in DeFi just spend all their time, I don't know, moving points around and moving things and moving, clicking here and there and connecting this wallet and that wallet and all sorts of things. But there is definitely a market for that. Going back to Aperture, what's your biggest challenge at the moment?
I would say like the biggest thing right now, so we are gearing up to TGE in March or April. And getting all the ducks in a row for that process is definitely a big challenge. As an exercise, it's quite different than the first 2 years I was at Aperture. Most of my time was spent talking to users, working with the product team to make sure that feedback is incorporated into the product roadmap so that we have good flywheel for product market fit. And then going out and through tactical marketing partnerships or like one-on-one recruiting, bring in more users to the platform and get this flywheel going. And that's basically the first 2 years of Aperture. And then now we're into this like TGE process, which is crypto's version of like what an investment
IPO.
banker would do before an IPO, all the those kinds of activities. And so it's a really big shift, not just for myself, but for the whole team that has to take a short pause around product, the normal product stuff to work on like TGE related things like the airdrop snapshot and airdrop claim and working with these centralized exchanges around listings and all those requirements. And that's definitely been a big pivot for us as we've never launched a token before. So it's all new.
Token generation event for anyone who is not familiar with the TGE. Just wanted to
Yes.
let people know because we often talk in short forms and if it might mean nothing to someone out of the DeFi type ecosystem. But yeah, I think if you are doing that, then I think the point system is a must for your platform for if there's gonna be a TGE event, that because people do look look for, okay, if this place has a points, if they can convert that points, will there be airdrops related to the points and all that stuff. So yeah, definitely. It is very exciting. But what I've heard is, and what I have seen is that running a DGE and running a token is like a business, is a company in itself. It's like you have twice as much work, exactly twice as much than just running without a token, because it's tokens reputation management and all sorts of things. And
yeah,
and so it is a big undertaking. Yeah, definitely best of luck for that. Keep going for that. My last question is that, do you have a ask? Are you raising funding, hiring, anything? Feel free to share.
Yes, we are. We are hiring backend engineers for sure. We also are always looking for advisors who can help with tactical marketing related stuff or anything related to that TGE process. We do bring on advisors, consultants part time who can help us unlock some doors for us or provide some strategy input.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are hiring. And then there is a private sale going on right now. But yeah, if there are any accredited investors who are not based in the US, et cetera, then you can reach out to us about that as well.
That sounds fantastic. I will put the links to the project, Aperture Finance, and if anyone's interested, they can reach out to that as well as to your Twitter, LinkedIn, or to any of your channels. So thank you so much for your time and sharing about Aperture Finance, what you're building, and how you see things going in the whole DeFi crypto space. So thanks for that.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good stuff.
GM y'all.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.